Our first reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter, also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, based on the readings, is from Acts chapter 20, and we read verses 17 through 35. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men, speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from the revelation given to St. John, the seventh chapter, and we begin reading at verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." He said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. O Lord, have mercy on us." The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. You do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. A text is based on two of your lessons for this morning. The first being from Paul's quotation of Jesus' own words in the lesson from Acts, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And from the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish." These are our texts. Please be seated. Based on what are as yet possible Supreme Court decisions this year, the question of life is front and center in public discussions this week and probably for many weeks to come. What is life? What is that eternal life that Jesus Christ died to give us? It's not always the life that many people live in this world. There's this person, young person, maybe between 15 and sometimes and up to 30 years old. They're living in their parents' house still. Maybe they have a job, maybe not. But if you go looking for them, you can usually find them in their bedroom. You know what they're playing? Video games. Their life revolves around that. Nothing else is more important. Now that is an existence. I'm not sure that God would call that what he defines as life. There's this individual, late 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe even up into the 60s. Work consumes them. They may have some people that they say are close to them, children, a spouse. But it's apparent to all that they really live for work. But even there, they really don't have many close relationships. People, after they retire, they'll want to spend time with. Some would call that life. But I'm not sure God would call it the life that his son died to give us. There's this person in their 70s, their 80s, their 90s. Maybe they're living at home still. Or maybe they're in some kind of care facility. Though there might be neighbors, though there may be people right in the room next to them, they don't know their names, not because they're mentally infirm. But they just sit in their room all day watching old episodes of Gunsmoke. They may venture out now and again and say hello to a passerby. But the idea of having relationships of friends really doesn't interest them. They may feel lonely, but they never pick up the phone and call someone else, though they're pleased when somebody, maybe a family member, does call them. It's an existence, but is it life God has called us to live? As I noted at the outset of this morning's message, the question of life looms large in our nation today. But how do we address that question? Oh, we may point out the fact from a science point of view that at the moment of conception, a new, if you will, DNA comes into this world. Yes, it may be lodged inside of somebody else's body, but it is human DNA and distinct from all others. It is a life. Or we might quote scriptures of that God saw us in the womb even before we are formed and had a plan for us. I believe both science, real science, and scripture are clearly on the side of defining the point in time at which human life begins as conception. But I'm also reasonably confident, and to a certain degree have experienced, that noting those facts in a discussion with others, well, you can kind of talk till you're blue in the face. And those arguments don't seem to make any difference. And I believe the reason for that is that we're really not addressing the real question of life that needs to be addressed. Before we were ever created, God existed. And existed in community. It's an unfathomable mystery, but the one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you know, I think he could have gotten along just fine being like that for all eternity. He didn't need to make us. But in him was life. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And that life couldn't exist forever without giving. Giving the greatest gift of all, life itself. Even before the world came into existence, God had planned it. And even when the world fell into sin, rejected God, treated him as some sort of ogre and liar, God so loved the world that he gave. What is life? Sitting around playing video games all day? Sitting around in a room watching old episodes of whatever? Spending your life accumulating just so you can have it for yourself? Or countless other ways that we exist in this world, seeking to take things from it, but not ever contemplating what we can give back to it. God sent his Son into this world not to give us an eternal existence, but eternal life. Life in the image of who God himself is. And the essence of being like the living God, I think, is found in the words that Paul quoted from Jesus himself. That it is more blessed to give than to receive. That, I believe, is the real issue confronting the world. Are we here to give or are we here to take? Here to build up others or here to build up ourselves? Therein, I believe, lies the real debate. And if you come down on the side that it's more blessed to give than to receive, what greater gift can you give than to give the gift of life? This weekend also happens to be Mother's Day. Not a bad weekend to be discussing this subject. I know a mother. I was with a mother when she gave birth to my and hers children. How many men here have been with their wives when they gave birth? How many men would like to do that? I don't see any hands up, and mine has remained firmly down. I can understand an individual going through what women go through in order to bring someone into this world through ignorance once. But knowing what it all entails, the pain, the suffering, the inability to get up out of a chair without assistance, to do that more than once, there is a reason that God gave the gift of birth to women. It's up to men, the world population would soon decline to zero. Give the gift of life has never been an easy thing. And you can ask more than mothers that question. No one understands it better than God Himself. Even though He gave that precious life to this world, brought it into being, the world gave up that life, settling instead for a lie that only destroys and kills. So God had to do something that, if you are a parent, and even if you aren't, seems unthinkable. To sacrifice one child, one good child, one perfect child, so that other children who are rebellious and full of hate and anger might live. And yet God so loved the world that He gave. And He sent His Son, Jesus, not to coerce us into life. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. The gift of life is not given through intimidation. It's not given through anger and through hatred. That is not the nature of a gift. Our gift of life, as fully displayed in the life of Jesus and as He wants us to display it in our own lives, when we encounter hatred, God responded to us with love. When we encounter disrespect, We respond with respect. When we encounter anger, the response is calm, patience, even as our Lord God, the author of life, has responded to this world with love, patience, with calm, and with countless gifts that we have never deserved. Our faith is in a good shepherd. Not a good herdsman. Herdsmen drive others from behind with whips, with loud noises, to lead them to places where they don't necessarily want to go. But the one who is life, the one who gives life, doesn't drive us to himself and to the life to which he calls us. He leads us in love. And as our world continues to ponder what it means to have life, that is how we must live our lives. When we are confronted with those who disagree, with those who are angry, perhaps even violent, to those who hate the truths that we hold dear, we truly want to change minds and hearts, it won't be merely through talking about the scientific moment when a human life begins, or quoting scriptures that say the same thing. A real ability to change human hearts is to explain what life itself is. To talk about that gift of life God has given us through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.